Alright guys, welcome to the show. This is Into the Apocalypse. This is episode 169 on the Deborah Gets Red Pilled feed. So we're getting up there. I'm here with Chud.
69.
Yeah, 169, dude. What's going on with you, man?
I think you were at about 69 when I started listening to your show.
Yeah, I think early 70s when it was when I had the blowout with Deborah the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, things are going good here. It's been, I wasted some time today, but you know, that happens when you're being creative and homesteading. It wasn't exactly homesteading, but I was cutting some, I got some dunnage wood that I was cutting to make, like liners for shelves for some of our canned goods and stuff like that. And I didn't measure twice.
Yeah. What'd you do? Did you inch yourself?
I was under on all. I did them all. Like, I'm like checking each one as I go. It's like, it's, they're all perfect. They're all exactly the same and they are all wrong. Yeah. So yeah. Win some, lose some. That it was happens. Free wood. So
yeah. Right on. Yeah. I've been out in the shop all day, just trying to get it organized, finally getting it organized. I got some free shelves off Craigslist, went down and picked them up a while back and I've had them in the garage. So I just put them up in my shop. Just big like particle board shelving units, and I just put like those cheap shelf brackets up, put it on top of those by myself. They're big and heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. And then just screwed them into the studs on the wall and like free shelves, and found my vise, mounted it to my new workbench, and I'm all ready to mill stuff out again if I want Sweet. To. But yeah, so let's get some business out of the way. So guys, we are a value for value show. Anything that you can spare, time, talent, treasure, we would really, really appreciate. And go on in and if you can't do any of that, leave us. And if you can do that, also leave us a 5-star review. We have not gotten any in a while. Maybe I'll go back and I'll read. So if you send us creative fun ones, I'll read them on air. But we have two associate producers on this show. So our friend Rebecca Ann Sincula, she's coming at us from down previously from Northern California, now from Southern Oregon. And she's been a great fan of the show, a great friend of the show since the early days. And she sent us a nice little tip. And our repeat donor, Donnie Stalter, he sent us another donation. So thank you guys. It is much appreciated. Goes Absolutely. Right back into the show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, guys, follow their lead. And Donnie mentioned that he's happy with what we've been doing, but he misses the video feeds. So if anybody doesn't know, I'm sure everybody probably does. Our YouTube got, I wasn't getting any traction on YouTube. You know, it takes a minute to put stuff up on YouTube. You got to sit there and let it download. With my internet connection, it'd take like an hour to put up a video. And I would get, unless we had somebody on like Old Scary World or somebody who had a big YouTube presence who also shared it, I would get like between 100 and 300 views per episode. So not much traction. I mean, that's not that much less than the downloads I get either, but so I stopped putting it up. Then our YouTube got nuked, you know? So I hadn't been putting anything up in a while. I still have our Odyssey channel. So maybe from this episode on, I'll start putting stuff up on Odyssey and see how it goes. I like Odyssey. It seems like a really cool platform. I think you get tipped in some sort of crypto or something like that, which I don't really care about. But they don't censor anything. You can find anything up there. So
yeah, I pretty much only ever used Odyssey with my limited internet usage. Sometimes there will be a podcast that gets stripped away from everywhere. And I'm like, man, I really wanted to check that out. I can usually find it on Odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I wish we could still be on YouTube because that's where everybody's at. I'm, you know, I use YouTube all the time out in the homestead to find out how to do stuff, you know, but
it's a powerful tool YouTube is.
Yeah. You can't find, a lot of the other stuff that we do on there. So, but yeah, so maybe I'll try to do it from now on out. And yeah, other than that, man, did it snow where you guys are?
Not since we last spoke.
Yeah, we got like an inch of snow, a couple days ago, stuck around for a little while. It's that really crappy, icy Oregon snow. Just kind of, it's not, it looks cool when it first comes down and then everything just gets real muddy. So
Yeah, right.
it was all right. But
We've been dealing with some ice though.
yeah.
Like misting rain, not quite rain, and then freezing overnight. So first thing in the morning, roads are so slick. And it's that clear ice too, you know.
Yeah.
Black ice.
Yeah, black ice, as they call it. It was cool. Right before you got on, I was making some notes for the show here. I sat in my little podcast room here over my left shoulder right there. I got my knockoff Techniques record player. I forget which brand it is, but it's like this, it's a the second best to Techniques that everybody had. And I listened to one of my favorite bands of all time, Swingin' Utters.
Oh.
They just released for the first time on vinyl this I had the CD when I was a young kid, 15 years old. A CD that they released in 93. They just put it out on vinyl for the first time, and I just sat in
What kind of
here.
music do they play? That name like really rings a bell, but I can't quite
It's
think of it.
like I guess you would call it street punk. Like it
Okay.
is not like oi, but it's adjacent, you know.
Dirty punk.
Yeah, just kind of like an English, you know, an English 80s English, but it's like sing-songy, poppy. But it's kind of, they're kind of, if you're from the Bay Area and you're into punk rock and you're my age, they were kind of like our Clash. Like they're like the sound of San Francisco.
Are they from San Francisco or did you say they're
I think they're
British?
originally from Santa Cruz, but they lived in San Francisco, like when they got more
Oh, okay.
popular. And so they've been
I'm
my favorite, one of my favorite American punk bands for since I was, you know, 15 years old. So
I just pre-ordered an album, a new album from a Bay Area band. There's a new Negative Land coming out later this month. I'm pretty
cool.
excited for it. It's called Speech Free. It's not free speech, it's speech free.
Yeah. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, we'll see where they go. I think it's gonna have no speech. It'll be their first one that has no voices, no human voice in it whatsoever. So I wonder if they're just kind of backing off from things in these trying times we have.
Yeah, who
But
knows? Yeah,
we'll see.
they disappointed you on their lockdown stance, right?
Not exactly, because I refuse to dig in too deep,
Yeah.
but I did see a couple pictures of them wearing masks at shows. So it's
Didn't
like,
you say they canceled some shows or something like that?
no, that was the Residents, another Bay Area
Oh,
band as well.
got it, got
Yeah,
it.
they disappointed me very much on their COVID stance. But Negative Land, they're hardcore anarchists. I feel like they couldn't have fallen for all that shit, but you know, I don't know. They were wearing masks at shows. They've probably just bent the knee to be able to play some shows or something like that.
Yeah.
But their post-COVID, the stuff they've put out since COVID has been fucking amazing. They're hitting on targeted individuals. They're hitting on fucking Amazon and Siri and everything being a microphone and us giving all of our data away. And content is what they've been focusing on the last couple of years, which has been interesting, to say the
Rad.
least.
And what form did they put it out on vinyl?
They put out, well, everything they do is free. They got sued a bunch back in the 80s and 90s, and they stopped copywriting anything. So everything is free for anyone to listen to, use, reuse, repurpose, re-edit, do whatever the fuck you want with it. And then they put that out for free in torrent forms. It's on Spotify, all those places. But as a longtime loyal fan, I buy their actual CDs. They do put them out on vinyl as well. But it's kind of just because I want to support them as
Yeah.
individuals.
I don't
Plus,
know if
like even
I.
this, it's a pre-order, like I said, because they don't actually have the money to release this yet. So like I signed a thing, digitally signed a thing saying, hey, you know, it's like a crowdfund, but they don't even go through crowdfunders. They just do it themselves. And everything they do is DIY. Or at least since they got kicked off SST Records. They used to be on SST back in the 80s, but
They
SST
got
sued the shit out of them.
for like IP stuff, just like for.
So what happened, real briefly, it's a long story, but briefly, they put out an album called U2. That's the letter U and the numeral two.
Yeah.
And it had a U2 fighter jet on it and big letter U and the numeral two. And then at the bottom, it said Negative Land and Island Records and U2 sued them for that. And SST said, oh yeah, take it. This is going to be good for publicity. Like just take that and fucking roll with it. And they did, but it didn't work out well. And SST didn't back them up at all. So they put out an album documenting all of that shit, including a whole lot of stuff from SST, and then SST sued them as well. So at that point, they had nothing
Yeah.
anymore whatsoever. And at the same time, they mysteriously, their studio burned down and they lost all their tapes, all in the same like 2 year period. Pretty crazy. R
Interesting.
really great documentary about it. I think it used to be free on Prime called Sonic Outlaws. It's not about them per se, but two-thirds of the whole documentary is just about them and them being sued over and over again. The documentary is more about culture jamming and anarchists who would do things to fuck up the culture around them, jam up the culture around them.
Yeah,
And
it's funny
that's,
because that's what Alex Stein
I know,
calls what he
dude,
does.
when I heard that, I was like, whoa, is he a Negative Land guy?
I doubt it, but
Because that's been the, I mean, like 1981, they have an album called Culture Jamming that
yeah.
is, it explains it all, that this is what we do. And
Yeah.
they did that whole one on CB radios, jamming up the CB lines.
Yeah, you ever mess around with CB radios?
No, but I really want to. I joined a group, a local group of CB radio nerds that do like regular check-ins and stuff. I don't have any equipment, but I kind of want to go meet up with those people and kind of learn how to get into it,
Yeah,
because
I know some
I
people that used to like do like prank CB stuff and they almost got their asses kicked by a bunch of truckers once.
yeah
They like
that
try they triangulated them
that
and found
the
them.
truckers found them.
Yeah,
Oh wow.
they were like on there like saying they were lot lizards and stuff like that, just fucking around and like yeah, like
That's pretty
my
rad.
friends that lived in they lived in Corning, California, which is like just this really tiny little hick town north of Chico in the middle of nowhere. That's what they do for fun, you know?
Dude, that's pretty epic.
Yeah.
I want to get into it though, you know, for apocalyptic reasons. I think that could be something that could be very useful if there was a if the grid were to go down.
Yeah, a lot of people get into what's the other one, ham.
Yeah.
I remember when one time Emily and I we went it was when we were like still doing Freedom Cell stuff and we went out to this guy's apartment out in the suburbs because we thought they were going to do some like crypto presentation or something, and it was like a bunch of like old people like in their 60s, like old 80s FEMA camp conspiracy theorist type people. And they were like talking about ham radios and having to get them and like how we need to learn how to use them so that like if when it all goes bad, we can have the ham radio, we can go meet them and like go get them, you know? And I was just I look, you know, I was like, well, if it all goes bad, I'm not coming out to a parking lot to get you because I'm heavily armed and you're just gonna be sitting in a parking lot. And that's like when our first, like when we first started being like, maybe these people aren't really who we want to be spending our time with, you know? And that's when like the f whole facade of like the freedom movement kind of started to fall for us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's kind of the basis in that group that I just joined is kind of based in that sort of stuff. They were all the people involved are very they were very awake through COVID and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know if it's something I'll ever A take the step to move in towards getting into, but B, if it's something that would actually be viable in those situations or not. But it could be handy, you know, like if you and I lived only 10 miles apart and the grid went down and we could be able to communicate through some kind of line like that.
Yeah.
That could be very useful for like already tight people, you know.
Cool. Yeah. You get in big trouble for doing ham radios without a license.
Right.
But our guest is here. Let's pause.
All righty.
Right, guys, we're back, and it's been a long time in the making. I think I first messaged you a while back, and we just lost contact. Dave Zed is here. We've canceled and rescheduled about four times since then, and we're finally doing it. So we're really happy to have you here, man. You're a big name guest for us. You've been on a bunch of really bigger shows, and we're just really happy to have you here to school us down on alien stuff that we've never gotten into. So how's it going, dude?
It's going great. Let me just say it's a pleasure and it's an honor, and I'm super grateful that you guys have had after the partly on my end as well, the con you know rescheduling and all that. You guys still are gracious enough to let me come on. So regardless of the size of one show, whether it's very large or very small, I'm here to talk about. I'm really interested in the in pursuing and I guess you could say disseminating information. And then having the individual, whether it's you guys or your listeners or viewers, interpret it as they see fit. So one thing I'd like to say before we start is that if there's one thing that has taught me with respects to some of the science I've been working on and many other things, is that it would not be right nor fair for me to say that everything or anything I'm going to say in this conversation or interview is factual whatsoever. And I mean that not in a sort of sarcastic way. I genuinely mean that. And I finally would like to say that with everything I'm about to say, in our conversation, I'm not asking neither you guys or your audience to believe me. I'm simply asking, you guys to be open to it. That's it.
You
Yeah,
got it. That's
we are open to everything, so it's all
awesome.
good.
So
That's
is
what
there
we're all
is
about.
did you guys want me to sort of take the floor, or did you guys have any questions or anything like that?
Well, do you want to give everybody your credentials a little bit first, and then we'll get into
Sure,
it?
sure. My credentials kind of go hand in hand with sort of what I've been up to as well. So if I may, I'll give a just general summary. So my name is Dave Zed. My real name is David Rossi. I am the creator and host of the Generation Zed ZED podcast on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, of course. We have a website going live shortly. But in addition to that as well, I have a Substack, davezed.substack.com. I'm on, Twitter at podcastzed, things like this. But mainly what I do now is I'm involved in, and I say this carefully because I mean, I don't, I'm trying to bring, it's a big task, but I'm trying to bring more of a benevolent balance to the military industrial complex. And a lot of people, they smile or they laugh right away. And I laugh with them because it's a very big task to take on. And it's, so in other words, my main focus now is in the consulting, research and development, and contracting field. So I started my own company called SALT, stands for Strategic Analysis and Assessment of Longitudinal Technologies. And the reason I'm bringing all this up, guys, as part of the introduction here, which I appreciate you letting me do, is because I started the show during the beginning of the pandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it. And basically, like as most people did, the first 2, 3 months, you had, time off of work with pay because, a lot of people didn't, know what was going on, all that stuff. Looking back, we can debate that. But basically, I started a podcast where, like anyone else, I basically tried to emulate Joe Rogan. It was not about aliens. It was not about any of that stuff. And then I did, an episode on, just random topics. And then we're talking to a black screen. If I got maybe 10 views on YouTube, 8 of the 10 being my mother, I would be happy, And so what ended up happening was that I did an episode on Operation, on Project Bluebeam, and it got like 4,500, 5,000 views. And I didn't, there was no video at the time, none of that stuff. And I was like, well, okay, there might be something here. I did another episode a week or two later on Operation Paperclip, ended up getting like 1,500 views. And I was not doing any social media marketing or anything like this, not even any free self-promotion. And I said, okay, there's something there. So I started down the path of, you know, what people would call, I guess, ufology, extraterrestrial, paranormal, high strangeness. But one thing I found, albeit at the current time now, I can't say that that's the case now, but what I found at the time was, at least based on my research, going through Facebook, Reddit, you name it, Twitter, YouTube, I could not find a podcast or a show that seemed to encompass the overall approach of exploring ideas and concepts in the paranormal world, UFO world, high strangeness. I found a lot of, and this is not a jab at anyone, but I found a lot of, no, it's my way or the highway. You know, the craft is using this material, it's doing that. Okay, that's it. It's all said and done. And then everything is based around that. I said to myself, essentially, why can't, you know, we take the perspective of what we call disagreements, in fact, being various perspectives of the same object, thing, you know, person, information structure, spirit, you name it. And so what I did was I started using the Generations Edge show as essentially sort of an autodidactic platform, meaning like I would teach by learning and learn by teaching. With others, we do, you know, on our member site on patreon.com/Generation Z, we do, you know, group Zoom calls and, you know, sort of like think tank calls. We explore ideas. I can't attribute all the credit to myself. It's been the help and work of many, many other phenomenal people. Some are which are still on the Patreon, some are not, but, you know, as at the ebb and flow of life as it goes. And so fast forward about a year and a half, 2 years later, I said to myself, I have no academic background, none of that stuff. And I said, because of that, not the lack thereof, but because I don't have any of this, I go, is it possible that maybe I can try and create or tap what's called anti-gravity? And so I started spending months and months, starting this time last year, looking into the theoretical side of things. And then realizing, okay, once you have the equations down, you know, self-teaching myself a combination of electrical engineering, chemistry, optics, and particle physics. Not a small task, but basically, you know, go on, you know, certain websites, write down the definitions on a stack of paper, use that as my reference guide for variables, whatever. And then what happened was, is that I said, okay, after a certain amount of time, I go, this is all fine and dandy. Now I'm learning to run equations, this and that, but I got to make something practical. I got to do something here because all this is not going to mean anything unless I can do something practically. So then what I started doing was trying to take more of the engineering approach, you know, when you have more practicality, because physicists or theoretical physicists are all, you know, paper, which is nothing wrong with that. But that's why they physicists and engineers, they clash a lot because, you know, you're trying to get someone to build something and the physicist doesn't agree, yada, yada. So
it's a difference between a construction worker and an architect, because the architects have it perfect on paper. And then when they hand it to guys like me, I'll be like, nah, it doesn't do that.
You, Adam, brother, you nailed it. Yeah. And so what ended up happening was basically very fortunate sort of intuition and guessing, nothing that came from anything academic or anything like that at all. Actually, quite the contrary. I basically, for lack of a better term, built probably 2-3 feet wide, maybe 4 feet tall, approximately, what I call generator that generates. I don't like to call it this, but I use it because it's, you know, the most commonly referred to, anti-gravity. And so we can call it anti-gravity, zero point energy, you know, free energy, things like this. And so I built this generator or device with a total of, I think, spending no more than a couple $1,000s and go make some trips to the hardware shop and ordering some things online and whatever, and then using materials from the kitchen I was in at the time. And essentially I was able to get what's called proof of concept going, you know, levitation, propagation, make something go flying immediately. I then introduced things like laser beams and, you know, old microwaves and what have you. And I built a couple more of them. So, you know, I have a handful of these I call generators now. And essentially, initially without realizing, what I did every time I turned the generator on was I essentially set off like a ground wave EMP that gave off a signal to governments that can detect this stuff. Governments on the other side of the world can detect this energy at the smallest levels, and it's been set up so that they can. And so what happened was basically within X amount of days of my turning it on and off constantly, not realizing that I had to conceal it, if you will. And that would have prevented, you know, these people from noticing. And the fact that at the time where I was, there was a, you know, a military base, you know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes away didn't help it either. But this is all in Canada, basically, literally, and in other ways got, you know, knock on the door, military intelligence, you know, people, you know, from the Pentagon, from the DOD, you name it. There was a scare tactic element, if you will, but it wasn't so much concerning to me as much as it was, okay, what can or should I do with this? And basically what I did was I started my own company and, for lack of a better description, NDA'd myself, because there's a lot of people that have tried to file patents, have tried to, you know, bring this stuff out to the world, you know, for the benefit of humanity, which I'm all for, but they unfortunately end up in a car crash. They end up disappeared. They end up, you name it, before they can even do that. And so one of the things I found was that being, you know, I then brought, basically I then made various presentations to different departments of the Pentagon, essentially, and then was taken to a handful of laboratories to then confirm these experiments, because where I was doing my initial ones was in the backyard of a house. You know, granted, there was a lot of land, but it wasn't anything, you know, where you could say, okay, in a closed laboratory condition, this is this, because for all I know, it could have been the freaking wind that that made it happen. Now, I brought the generator inside and, it, you know, and then it still did the same thing, but that's, you know, still need a lab. So then all that stuff ended up working. And then basically what I'm now doing with Salt is I'm still running the show as I always have. But what I'm doing with Salt is I'm doing consulting with respects to, there are people that are looking on how to, quote unquote, die organically or properly. You know, the Egyptians would call it things like ka transfer in the pyramids to bring the soul elsewhere, and you name it. Now, with that said, the reason I bring this up is because there are also people that have been as well targeted, you know, psychotronically, as it's been called, to induce feelings and, you know, voices in their head or emotions that normally would not be of them, or even have encounters with what they would call extraterrestrials, when in fact they're simply electromagnetic frequencies messing with that particular individual's mind, for example. And in other cases, using that individual's mind to actually act as like a movie projector. So that individual will say, holy crap, did you see that? And I'll give you a perfect example. Say, you know, Chud, Adam, and I are driving in a car and we see in the sky a craft, a UAP, UFO, whatever. And regardless of who's in the craft, human or not, or spiritual or not, or whatever, you see, for example, Adam sees a cube, Chud sees a triangle, I see a sphere. Now, we then start arguing about, we see it in the same spot, but we start arguing about what was its shape really? What if it was all of them and neither of them simultaneously? And I'm not saying that to check off a box of, you know, oh, it's everything and nothing, in the sense of trying to sort of please people. I'm saying that because that's where the data leads, both theoretically and experimentally in the laboratory as well. It depends where you as the individual viewed it, how you viewed it, how you interpreted that information structure. This goes back to what Dr. Niels Bohr said in 1918, I believe, when he said, it just goes to show you in modern human history how far back this stuff's been cracked. It's just been concealed. But where Dr. Bohr said, and I'm paraphrasing here, if one doesn't realize that everything we call real and physical, like, you know, my glasses or my water bottle or, you know, even us, are made up of things that are completely, that are considered not real whatsoever. Then he said, one has not fully understood quantum mechanics. I would fully agree. I've tried many various avenues, whether with numbers, whether it's, I'm not saying I've tried all of them, but whether it's in the laboratory, and it seems that whether this is what's been called, this is just my opinion, whether this has been called the Holy Spirit, whether it's called the super force, exotic vacuum objects, the chi, the prana, the you name it. I think what we're seeing here, guys, is we're seeing the perhaps reoccurrence, as Graham Hancock and many others have said, of us as a species being hit on the head with amnesia and rediscovering the same underlying concepts over and over again in a grand scheme of a cycle or a clock of sorts of our species. Now, I will say that there are many ways to tap this energy, with liquids, you know, what we would call alchemy, with just electricity and you know, various manipulations of magnetic currents and things like this. There are many different ways to do this, you know, with plasmas, you name it. But I think, again, just like in life in general, we have different paths, but we all get to the same finish line. So I think that's what we're seeing here with this. So forgive me for the ramble, but that's essentially how all this started. So,
dude, that was awesome.
Thank you.
You hit on so much stuff that I love to think about. You know, you're really hitting it on what consciousness is in a lot of senses right there. And as I said before we hit record, you know, like the way I view things, man, I know that this reality, as we call it, that we see in front of us is not all there is.
Right.
I'm certain of that. And right. I think that the interpretation of what this reality is very, very, very much up for debate. Anyone who says it's not up for debate isn't looking deep enough.
And as
you say, you know, when you hold up something that's solid, it's like, you know, if we listen to science, well, that's made up of atoms that aren't even touching each other. And they're all hovering and vibrating near each other. I don't know. Even the scientific explanations of things, really, once you start really trying to wrap your mind around them, they kind of fall apart.
And if I can just say before we move on, to your point, Chud, this is what's incredible. If you look at some of the top people, you know, Einstein, John Wheeler, Richard Feynman, you know, you name it, even Stephen Hawking, most, if not all of the things that we consider, excuse me, in physics, in life in general, we don't know what they really are. And I'll give an example. What we call electricity, what we call magnetism, when you really look into it, the things that are considered as givens in science, whether theoretically in a variable sense or whether in the laboratory when you're engineering something or engineering it even to scale, we don't know what it is. We don't have an adequate definition of force. I encourage people genuinely try and look. If you really look at the problem, Richard Feynman said it himself, we don't have an adequate definition of force. We call it today electricity. Our ancestors may have called it magic. What you see what I'm saying? So one thing I will say is that one person asked me recently, I was doing a Twitter space and someone said to me, what is the phenomena? And I said, truth be told. And I think this speaks in a philosophical sense to the joy is in the journey. But the more I uncover and discover, whether in the numbers or whether when I take it to the lab, the more questions I have. I don't know what it is. And if anyone tells you they know what it is, in my humble opinion, I rarely say things with such certainty, but I will tell you with this much certainty, they're effing lying, because there is no way. That, I mean, you know, whether it's these alleged non-human beings or various forms of us, interdimensional, whether they're just, you know, psychotronic projections, you name it. One message seems to be very clear, which is that they may be ahead of us, whoever they are, but they don't know everything. And they've admitted that to some of our leaders allegedly as well. They may be ahead of us technologically, intellectually, by our measurement of time, you know, 50,000 years, whatever it is. But even them, they don't know everything themselves, which speaks to this idea of life is movement. The joy is in the journey. You know, when you finish playing a game of Fortnite or Call of Duty, you don't think, oh my gosh, I'm at the end. What a beautiful game or whatever. You think, okay, what's the next round? Right? Same idea, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's where I would go in that regard.
So sorry. For the gap, I'm trying to wrap my head around everything. So
no worries, man. I apologize if I was sort of, you know.
This is great. I feel that we're starting off on a very similar page as far as the way of basic interpretation of the world around us. Like,
right.
I am a man of questions, and the number of answers that I have. It actually gets smaller all the time.
Welcome to the club.
It's that difference between belief and knowing. You know, right. What I know is, there are so few things that I know. And just about everything that I think is just something I believe. And it is subject to change. And, you know, and that comes down to the nature of our reality and existence itself. So,
right.
We're starting off on a good foot here.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so Dave, how can we relate everything that you just told us into the world of aliens, UFOs, all that stuff?
Sure, I would say that what we call, UFOs, UAP, you name it. They, in my opinion, they emit very similar, if not identical, depending on the, oh my gosh, that's an adorable dog, by the way.
Yeah.
They emit the same energy and resonant frequencies, for example, that would induce paranormal experiences. I think there's a direct intermergence between the two, whether it's, for example, what we call plasma, whether it's, messing with ions in what we call quote unquote empty space, which I personally don't think is quote unquote empty, but in a gaseous form to conduct what would be called today scientific experiments, what would have been called 200 years, 150 years ago, seances, in order to summon some of these beings, or, you name it. Now, with respects to beings coming off of a craft, I think what we're seeing there is a form of, and I'm not claiming this is the end all be all answer. I'm simply claiming it is a strong hypothesis, but, from others and based on, calculations and all, we are seeing the result of a physical, tangible creation of a body, of a craft that is ultimately being maneuvered by something that is completely not physical whatsoever. And if I may give an example, if I cut, for example, I'll use me because I don't want to say this about anybody. If my legs got chopped off or my arms got chopped off, I'm still me. The question becomes, just because, I lost my legs doesn't mean that Dave is no longer Dave. What makes Adam Adam? What makes Chud Chud, right? We see, for example, in the recent RoboCop film from 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago with Joel Kinnaman there, the guy from Suicide Squad, that, he had the body, the robotics body, but he had left of him in a carbon sense. He had lungs, he had the brain, he had his eyes, he was able to breathe, all that stuff. He had his heart, but that was it. What is within there that is still keeping him as him? It's not the suit, because the suit was put on after. So the question becomes, is it something in what's been known as the chakra, the pineal gland? Is there something there? Is there some type of resonant, for example, I keep saying plasma, but because I have no other way to describe it. But I, to the people that say, let's play devil's advocate for a moment, that say, well, okay, come on, Dave, now you're getting into woo-woo land. Well, hold on. Respectfully, I say to people, when we look, for example, someone says, oh, honey, the carbon monoxide or the carbon dioxide in the garage is in the garage, the garage door shut, the car has been turned on, we got to, people cannot touch carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide. They can't touch it, but they know it's there. The same thing as a laser beam. You go to the store, you buy a laser beam, you shoot the laser beam at your hand, that you see the light on your hand, but can you touch the beam in between or anything? No, but people accept it like it's nothing. That the, no disrespect to, I'll use football, my NFL friends. People watch at the NFL game and they go, they assume that it's real. It certainly very much could be, but unless you individually are there yourself, who's to say this is not some type of simulated game that is duping the masses? Now, I'm not trying to make a conspiracy out of everything. I'm just, as a thought experiment, it's that same idea. So, I mean, that's, I would say, sort of like Plato's allegory of the cave, the same way that when you go watch a movie, you have a nuts and bolts projector projecting light onto a screen for us to observe for our entertainment. I would dare to say, let's take that concept of nuts and bolts projector projecting light, let's flip that around, and that may be our reality, meaning that what we call light is projecting what we interpret and perceive via our nervous system, our neural nodes and all that stuff, as solid objects. And so, say, for example, Adam and Chud and myself, we start thinking, okay, we all agree. I call it, people call it consensus reality. I call it consensus harmonics. We all agree, Dave's glasses are in his hand here. Now, what if Adam sees the glasses morph into a cube or something like this? I'm just making something up. Even my glasses, and then, for example, Chud sees my glasses, shapeshift, if you will, into a coffee cup, but I still see my glasses. That doesn't make me right nor wrong. Same thing applies to you guys. It is up to the individual that is perceiving it, right? So
if we're telling truth of what we're perceiving, then that is our truth. Period.
Right.
Like it's not up for debate as far as, at least in your own mind, goes, because you're seeing what you're seeing,
Right. I think absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you think that there's technology that's harnessed the ability to influence what we're experiencing or seeing?
On a human level, without a doubt.
Do
Without
you
a doubt.
say that that would be like what would be used in like direct energy weapons or like voice to skull or TI stuff?
Yes, sir. I would say 100%. Yeah.
Have you ever read the book Chameleo?
Bits and pieces, not all of it.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like that because that guy was seeing, I mean, he was on meth too, but he was seeing some crazy stuff. He was seeing like gorillas out like dancing in the desert and like driving go-karts or dune buggies, wild stuff, you know. And do you think in those type situations that there are people who are more susceptible to that influence than others?
I think it's a really good question. I appreciate the question because I think this is where we have a fine line. Maybe not a fine line, but definitely a line of, for example, people talk about chemical imbalances in the brain allow, creating them to have certain behaviors or, drug and or, alcohol induced, stupor episodes or things like this. The problem becomes, and I don't claim to have the answer. This is one of the things I'm pursuing with what I'm doing at Salt is the problem becomes that if someone says they've seen Bigfoot, for example, whether they're on drugs or not, you then have so many variables. And I'm not trying to make this as an unsolved problem that'll never be solved. I'm just saying it's things we have to factor in, perhaps. There are so many different variables in that regard that the person may, in fact, have seen a being that has emitted itself and projected itself in a particular way to what we have called. Bigfoot, for example. For there may be another situation or scenario where the person, whether on some type of drug or not of any kind, or not, may in fact experience something that is real to them. That because of their bioresonance, as what's been called in the spirit world, if your spiritual community, as your aura or something like this, is creating such a strong belief of what we call manifestation. Which can be scientifically substantiated, just it's not in the public literature. Manifesting the thing that we claim to be afraid of the most internally. Now you have that, but what you also have is data that very strongly suggests there are quote unquote external sources, if you will, that also create that situation where there may actually be something there. Now, just because that thing looks a certain way to you doesn't mean it's going to look the same to somebody else, but it is something that is not being psychotronically induced by a government. It is something that is not being, Now, that doesn't mean that it's from another planet, but the question becomes sort of like an onion, multiple layers, or sort of like a stack of books. If you have a stack of 10 books and we are experiencing, say, book number 10, what if books 9 to 1 contain realities that are slightly different in their vibration and oscillation? That have a completely separate, I guess you could say, set of rules, environment, experience. And every so often, some of us, whether naturally or induced, artificially or both, have the capability to observe and experience outside of our current spectrum. And that would be the case when people say, okay, I saw something, a spirit with the corner of my eye. Well, there's a reason, for example, in which can be scientific, which has been proven. Not just theorized, but proven dead on that there's a reason why we see these beings or these spirits or of all kinds with the corners of our eyes more so than that of with the center directly. There,
Why
yeah.
you're saying why you're seeing stuff peripherally
Yes, sir.
instead of straight on?
Yes, absolutely. This is stuff, this is not how the source of this type of occurrence has not been concluded to my knowledge, even on the private side of things. But with respects to acknowledging that it is not always us, although a lot of the times it is us, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, man. I live out on this old creepy property in this 100-year-old farmhouse. I'm here all day by myself, just doing stuff on the farm, and I see weird stuff out of the corners of my eyes all the time. And it's to the point where I just keep going. There's Bigfoot out here too, so I hear him all the time also. So, you know.
Well, these are things that I would say very strongly and very seriously that with the utmost respect, I'm not saying to dive into it, but if anyone calls you quote unquote crazy for it, I would say, you know, I'm sure, you know, I would just dismiss them because there's far too many of these events happening to even the most trained military individuals all around the world. It's getting to the point where I'm not saying every case is true, but not to get into whole what's true or what's not, but then it's like, okay, how many people are going to come out that are, you know, military guys, where it's like not just in the West but around the world, where some of the best people to defend the country are now saying this. So
Yeah,
clearly
like what it reminds me of is David Fravor,
I mean, if I may say very quickly, now I'm not saying about Mr. Commander Fravor at all, but in general, to play devil's advocate to myself, we have to ask ourselves, is this some type of psyop? Perhaps, but at the same time, there comes a point where, I mean, the data is the data, over the years from different groups. The experiencers are experiencers. So clearly there's a there to some extent, right? Like Fravor, I mean, I would say he described the physics of what he saw as bang on accurate as to some of the stuff that I've tapped in initially in a backyard and then now in a laboratory. So
Yeah. Chud, you know what this all what Dave's been talking about reminded me of is on your most recent Chud does another podcast called The World As It Is Today. And on
oh,
your
nice.
last episode, you were talking about how about Columbus landing and the natives not being able to see their ships right away because they had no reference for it or they didn't even believe it or know
They
it.
just they it's said that they couldn't interpret the concept of a ship of that size and at that distance, you know, because they'd rowed in, and so these ships were sitting back, and they were trying to tell them about the ships, and the natives were just going, well, what ships? What are you talking about? Like, we don't see anything there. But then over time, as they talked and they showed them, and they, you know, got to understand each other, all of a sudden they were like, oh, that's what you came in on. It said that they couldn't see it before that. And
That is, to your point, Chud, this is the th and I say this not in a sarcastic way. I really mean this when I say, who the heck am I to say yes or no? Genuinely.
I know I'm telling that on that other podcast, but I'm also at a point where I'm not sure that I believe that A, Columbus existed at all, but I'm pretty darn certain that if he did exist, he wasn't what we're told. And like, everything about that story, I question. But that's just like an old thing I'd heard a long time ago, and it kind of demonstrates a lot of points, like what we're making here.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Who's to say? I mean, I'm the same. I'm the type of person where I want to learn from you guys in the sense of, do you guys have a perspective, for example? And I don't mean this literally in the moment, but you know, in this idea of, do you guys have a perspective that perhaps I don't on anything? Because then it could be something that I can learn and apply to my work, and vice versa, something that you guys can walk away with as a stronger thought experiment or hypothesis or something like this. And just by people say, for example, how does one raise their vibration or this kind of stuff, however we want to call it, you know, improve their life or whatever. I would say by having the conversations we're having right now, I wouldn't say there's necessarily a magic sauce, if you will. I think it's the way that we discuss things now. Why can't Chud, for example, say, Dave, you know, I question your claims. I say, and I would, no sarcasm, I would say, I'm not saying you are, but I would say, you know, Chud, I genuinely respect that. And if I could, I would say, come to the laboratory, not to prove you wrong, but to genuinely see, is there something you're seeing that I'm not, genuinely? So I think that's where, again, you know, the human emotion, the ego comes into play. Then it starts with the name calling, and then no one gets anywhere with that stuff. So.
Absolutely. That's our whole community of conspiracy theorists are constantly battling with each other on what I find to be such dumb little things, you know, because we all, I don't know, if I do challenge what you're saying, which again, like you said, I'm not, but you know, that's for me to do. Like, and if you're
Right.
putting yourself out there, you should be putting yourself out to be challenged. And just like if I am challenging you, I need to be open enough to come and look at what you're doing. You know, not just hear a story and then be like, ah, no, fuck that guy. He said stuff that doesn't fit into my way of looking at things.
Right.
Like, I really wouldn't be able to do that at all, ever, but at least not until I've come to your lab and come check this out. And seen it firsthand, and then I could be like, yeah, I don't know. You were telling me that things were levitating, but I just saw things fall straight to the floor, you know, or
Right.
whatever. And
Right.
then, like I was saying earlier, if that was the reality I saw, I can't even question that. You know what I mean? Like, and really you can't question that. I mean, you can question whether or not I'm making that up. Like I could be seeing what you're seeing, you know,
right.
you know, but yeah, like a lot of what we're talking about here is just describing how to be genuinely open-minded. Like genuinely open-minded, not, oh, I'm open-minded. You know, I have these things that I've decided. Like, I feel like that's what happened to the whole hippie generation. Was I said, we're open-minded. We're so open-minded that we're going to control everyone into thinking exactly like we did with our open minds, you know, or whatever.
This, I couldn't agree more. This goes right back to the whole, you know, people have to be very vigilant, including myself, of having yes men or yes people around them, because then you start having just, oh yeah, yeah, no problem. Yes, yes, this and that. Whereas for example, say if we take that lab example, you could come to the lab and say, Dave, I'm not seeing crap. No, no offense. And then a slight adjustment is made to the generator itself. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the same thing I do, or you see something, a phenomenon that maybe I don't, but it's a phenomenon nonetheless. Right. So to your point, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It seems to me like people are so, some people want, it's crazy because some people want alien, are so invested and have been for so long in the field of aliens, ufology, right, that they're willing to put a lot of other stuff to the side to reinforce what they're looking at.
I mean, sorry, Adam, to cut you off. I would just go as far to say, as you know, people talk about, oh, it's a drone. I have to watch my words here, but it's hyper speculation. It's possible that there are drones using what we call 0-point energy. So
sure.
Right. I'm not trying to say that there's no such thing as UFOs or UAP, but for those that say, well, oh, no, it moved and it jerked in this way with instant inertia, no, you know, no, nothing, no propellant or anything. It must be a UAP or UFO. Well, what is a UAP? It is unidentified. It is an aerial phenomenon. It doesn't mean that there's some green person in there doing it with that. Right. Right.
On its own. Like, yes, they all could absolutely be drones that are being controlled by aliens, right? You know, like that's an option in there. The reason that people saying drones now, it sounds the way it does, is because you can go to Walmart and pick up a drone for $16.99. Yeah, we all have drones, and it's kind of like saying it was an airplane before, because there's airplanes in every city, you know, or whatever. Like yeah, it's what we all have. It's what we all understand and we all have. Get back to reality, where we're all functioning at the same frequency and seeing the same things. Quit trying to tell me it's something other than what I can easily explain from the world that's conveniently around me.
It's like aliens driving UFO flying saucers is what lay people needed to have it make sense to them, because like you can't, the normal person, I can't really do it either, can't comprehend just a mass of energy somehow piloting a tic-tac through space, if that's even through, you know. Yeah, I mean,
I hear you,
tripped up.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Well, and to be totally open too, I mean, like drone, we're saying like that still is conjuring up the picture of a flying device that is crafted in a way that we like can interpret. Right. This could just look like a rock. It could just look like a rock, or not even something solid. You know, it could be a point of energy that's moving around and it's taking in information and beaming it back, or logging it and it's gonna go back, or it's endless to how you could interpret the what we don't know.
Exactly. You don't know what you don't know by definition. Exactly.
Yeah exactly.
Right. Hey Dave, we've got you for like 15-20 more minutes. Can we ask some specific questions about you know, alien phenomenon that's been recorded throughout the last 50-60-70 years?
Sure.
Okay. I got that picture over my shoulder. You know what that is, right?
Yep.
That's the drawing that Bob Lazar does in his little documentary to explain the anti-gravity that he saw at, where was he?
S4.
S4. What do you think about that? And what do you think about Bob Lazar?
I don't think this is, again, just to be clear to you and your audience, this is, I don't, it's just my opinion based on some of the things that I've worked on currently. I don't think he's BSing with respects to the composition of the craft. When he said there were no rivets or curvatures in the craft, it was sort of like one smooth ceramic, body, if you will, with respects to the way that some of this, quote unquote, anti-gravity stuff worked. I have a very respectful but strong disagreement regarding element 115, particularly when he said that that was what was needed to, fuel the craft. I would say very strongly that at least based on my experience and experiments of various kinds over the past year, that is not the case. Now, that is not to say that there isn't some type of metamaterial that can induce more effective energy levels than what, could be done. Like, I'll go as far as to say, I have to watch my words here, but it's one can get a popcorn bowl in their kitchen and make that thing into a mini craft. That's how, quote, for lack of a better term, that's how simple it is, in the sense that if we apply the same concept to our ancestors, we're doing this over many thousands of years. Our ancestors were not running general relativity, Ricci tensors, and all these equations and yada yada. They had a much more fundamental understanding in a geometric and visual sense of how it works. And so, geometrically, visually, the illustrations Mr. Lazar has put out about his gravity amplifiers and all that stuff, I would be in very strong agreement with. However, with respects to element 115, I don't want to, I disagree with him in the sense of it's not needed to fuel the thing at all, but I can't say that that it can't be used as a fuel source. It's just not something I'm aware of.
Yeah, and as far as his story goes, do you think that he was telling, I'll do what I say what I think. I think he was telling the truth about what he thinks he saw. Do you think he was led to see what he saw?
Yeah, personally, yes, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Got it. Chud, do you have any Bob Lazar questions?
Not questions. You between the two of you nailed what I have to say about it.
Cool.
I think that I think that he saw reality as he saw it. He saw the glasses, not the cup, and he described the glasses, not the cup, or whatever. He described what he genuinely saw. Was he led towards it? I tend to think so, but that's coming from my perspective, where I cast a lot of shade on, just about anything that's coming from someone who's in a government facility,
This
and many other aspects too.
I mean, you had Jacques Vallée, before we go to the next question, you had Jacques Vallée say recently on a YouTube channel, very nice guy, Jesse Mitchell's show, say that it's possible he was brainwashed and things like this. Look, I was not there at the time, so who the heck am I to
Yeah.
rule it out or not? So
Right.
all I can say is that his storytelling with respects to the shape, the geometries of the craft and all that is very consistent with what I've, in my opinion, it's consistent, but that's just me. So,
Yeah, because we had Bill Cooper said real, he was pretty bad on the alien stuff in the 80s. I knew a lot about Bill Cooper, and then I without knowing anything about his UFO stuff. And it's a lot of it's just pure lies and stuff that he stole from other people, like provably. And he admitted it, kind of.
this becomes the problem. If you have one or two things that are legitimate, I'm not saying Mr. Cooper, but in general, all it takes is one, you to BS something, and then that everything else gets thrown out the window.
Yeah, and he said he was kind of tapped because they would pick out like highly intelligent people who kind of he was he said they would pick out people who were drunks who they knew were going to talk and they can kind of figure out who's going to do what and feed stories and lines to them. Like Bill Cooper says he saw a flying saucer come out of the ocean, and I think I kind of believe him on that much, but
I will tell you, Adam, that is of my understanding that there are departments in various world governments, not just the West, particularly military intelligence departments, that do in fact do that for plausible deniability. With that said, I'm not saying I'm not saying that that substantiates what Mr. Cooper's saying at all. But in terms of this tactic of, there are intel agencies that look for individuals outside of academia to recruit, if they may have a unique idea, it's a thing. It's a thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. What about Tom DeLonge into the Stars Academy?
I mean, if you look, for example, in my opinion, I think he certainly had conversations with individuals that, you know, generals and things like this as to, you know, if he's experienced the you know, his claims in terms of, you know, there's a generator under Antarctica. There's this, there's another generator here or there. I hate to be this guy, but I'm a data-driven guy. I don't know. I would need the data, and I would prefer the data. This is maybe me being picky, but I would prefer, you know, multiple forms of radar, things like this, to substantiate such. You know, case in point, it's, again, not to say it's alien, but not to say it's human either, or maybe both. But the when you see, for example, Air Force pilots, multiple of them saying, you know, I saw 80,000 feet in the sky, 90,000 feet, you know, this sphere in a cube or cube in a sphere type thing. Don't know who's in it. Not saying that because it's like that, it's alien, not saying at all. But, you know, and then it went from 85,000 feet down to one, you know, surface level in less than half a second. And we have multiple forms of radar data and footage and tracking to substantiate it. That's when I go, okay, there's something here, in my opinion. Not saying it's alien, not saying it's human, but when these are the, unless this is a psyop, which, my gosh, it must be the most expensive one out there, but unless, you know, the different, unless the radar has been off, unless this or that, these are people that have, you know, are, you know, contributed their lives to defend the nation, and, you know, all of a sudden they're being branded as crazy people. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, to play devil's advocate. It may be an intel op or something like this, but at this point, there's so many of them speaking from around the world, even the Brazilian government. How many? Now, if this is, and I will tell you, if this is one big concerted effort to dupe the masses, I applaud them. But based on some of the things that I've experienced myself, in even in the laboratory, I don't think it's that. But that's just me.
Yeah. You referenced Project Bluebeam a little earlier. One of the things that really stuck with me since doing this show is Chud and I were doing a show on, we were talking to this guy, Mitch, the orgone donor, about a whole bunch of stuff. And he's brought up Operation Project Bluebeam, and he made some sort of comment that was like, a lot of us are so conceited and full of ourselves that we are just thinking about what they're going to do about Project Bluebeam in the future when they roll it out. And like, apparently a large ego because I'd never ever thought that, oh man, maybe it's here already and fooling me every day. Do you think it's been here? Or
I think I'm of the opinion, with the backing of theoretical and practical data and experiments, we're living in Bluebeam. But that's just me. Now, that doesn't mean that something can't, you know, come in and replicate such a phenomena or event that people have been discussing. It would certainly add to the fear angle if there was a human element from the future or even from the past, you know, time traveling to now, or even non-humans or even esoteric beings leveraging that, because, you know, if they'd be so much more advanced, they would observe over the last, in this current timeline, you know, 70 years that it's been a discussion amongst people. It would certainly check off the confirmation bias box. But to your point, Adam, there's a strong debate as to, you know, will it be an invasion? Will it be more of a rescue thing? Will it be a bit of both? Will it be a military, human, military industrial complex type of event? I can't say that I know. I'm not that I'm not focused on it, but that's something that I don't think you'll ever find the answer to within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. And who knows, like, if we'll even ever be able to know.
I try and apply those questions to the data. And what I mean by that is, take what's in the public literature of academia in any field of science, mathematics, you name it, engineering, and then scale it up. That's probably what's happening on the classified level. Right. And it's just it's considered classified, top secret, restricted. You know, I'll give you an example. GMOs in food, right? We see this is a common thing. People talk about it. You know, it's a fact. You know, you name it. Not to get into the whole what's a fact, what's not. But then why has that not been tried on humans? It probably has. Probably off the books. Probably using some type of, you know, private industry, something that can get around the Freedom of Information Act thing. So yes, in theory, the government is not lying to us, or world governments are not lying when they say that they're not doing it. But are they subcontracting it out with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
Yeah, it's right. Like that, the whole concept of that the government or the powers that be are always 50 years ahead of us in right. technology, or pick your number of years, you know. Right. The smartphone rolled out in what, like 2010 ish, but they had that technology for 50 years before that is what you should just add on, you know.
I mean, I have data that I can tell you, documents as well, that what we call the iPhone 4 and 5 specifically from 2010 was something that was had in mid-90s as something that was just a test for something even grander than that. Unfortunately, I can't get into too much detail, but yes, to your point, I mean, you have even Ben Rich, the former head of Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works division, saying basically, I don't know if this is a direct quote or from what his friend claimed, but he basically said, we take what you see in Star Wars and Star Trek and add 50 to 100 years to that, and then add another basically 500 years to that, and that's what we have under the desert. So,
I like it.
And then he also said it would take an act of God to get this stuff out, right? Because, you know, you would disrupt the oil guys, the pharma guys, you know, if you had purely hypothetical, but if you had a cancer curing thing or something like this, you know, how are they going to profit and make money? But again, this goes back to the whole stuff's got to change. This is why I started the company that I did, because I do believe there's a way that this can come out to a very strong extent without it being weaponized, without it being, you know, and the people, in my opinion, they deserve to know. If I'm just someone with a couple $1,000 that stumbled on this and then set off an alarm to these agencies and governments, I think it's very reasonable that we're in the year 2022, people very strongly have the right to know to a very large degree. Like I said, with that said, in a weaponized sense, if one took one, as I call it, one of the generators and deployed it to an army of guys with guns and M16s and AK-47s, it would, if with the right pulsation electromagnetically, you'd make those guns not be able to shoot bullets, whether it's electromagnetically, whether it's digitally, whether it's computationally, or whether it's even creating a particular energy density so that you can just, forgive me, I'm not a gun expert, but so you could that create the, you can mess with the bullet in the gun, in the magazine before it's shot, things like this, so that it can't be shot out. There's a legitimate concern, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that should stop us from at the very least discussing it and hopefully soon enough showcasing it. So, yeah.
Got it. What do you make of, you know, the push from the government after denying aliens and extraterrestrials for so long? Why is it out there just as like common, you know?
I think yes, no. I think what we're seeing is I think just like unlike politics, or at least Western politics, where it's constantly, you know, red versus blue, pick one or the other, multiple things can happen at once. And what I mean by that is I think what we're seeing is an internal battle on the inside of various government agencies acting as, dare I say, dysfunctional families, or highly functionally, and maybe even that's a scary thing, more so strategic with respects to, some believe this should come out, others say over my dead body. In addition to, in the muck of all of that, what we would call influence campaigns of disinformation, misinformation. I think we're seeing a muck of everything I just said there.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're at an hour, Dave. You want to plug your stuff again and get out
sure.
of here?
Sure. For those that are interested very avidly and much more, strongly with respects to some of everything we discussed here, patreon.com/generationz is where you can come support my work. We got 8, 12, $30 tiers, depending on what, each tier is specific for what you like. We have, members only episodes, early release. We have multiple times per week group Zoom calls as sort of like think tanks to have discussions like this. You can also find me at Generation Z is EED podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and YouTube. In addition to the same thing, Generation Z podcast, no space, no capitals on Instagram, and of course, at Podcast Z on Twitter. And I do have a Substack, which is Dave Zed, ZED, no space, no capitals, .substack.com, where I do I try and do one post or one article a week on there as well for those that are more into the reading side of stuff. So it's been, I really want to thank you guys as well. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming on. This conversation has just been absolutely pleasurable. I feel like I could talk to you for 4 more hours and we wouldn't run out of stuff to talk about. This is great, especially as, like I said up front, I'm not really an alien guy, but this I not one moment of this conversation have you lost me at all. This has all been right in my wheelhouse and well spoken on all of it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. And again, I want to apologize for the constant rescheduling, but I'm glad we finally made it happen. And I'd love to have you guys on to continue the conversation if you like on my end. So if you guys are ever interested, we'll talk privately and we'll go from there.
Right on. Thanks, man. Anytime
Great.
Thank you
we're
guys.
available. Right on. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you so
We'll
much.
see you
Cheers,
soon,
guys.
man.
See
All
ya.
right, see ya.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people, all those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that 7-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.